argues that God, when He said, don't muzzle the ox, that He intended, what that would show is that He didn't want you to stop that animal as He was working to muzzle him so that he couldn't bend over and eat a little bit, to get a little bit from his labors. And that would show without question, see, don't muzzle an ox as it treads out the corn. And we ought to know, well, is God more concerned about a man working or about an oxen working? Well, obviously, He's more concerned about a man working, and that would show, that principle would show that as a man works, he has every right, see, to expect. So here's this expectation of getting paid, of getting a reward, and a preacher of the gospel, what Paul is establishing, has every right. See, and Paul is particularly talking about himself and those that were with him, those that had worked at Corinth. Titus had worked at Corinth and preached some. Timothy had preached at Corinth. Apollos was at Corinth after he was converted. He went over to Corinth. But he had showed that we have every right, see, to expect it and to expect it from you. See? As Paul would argue now, if everybody else has a right to get support from you guys, what about us? See, if others, verse 12, are partakers of this right over you, are we not rather? See, we help start this work. See, Paul sent Timothy over to correct these problems that they're having, some of these issues that they're having. See, we can see that. In chapter 3, he sends Timothy over. I won't take time and try to find that. It may be, let me see if it's 4. Yeah, 4:17. For this reason I sent Timothy to you, who's my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ. See, they needed reminding, but Paul wanted them to follow him. See, they'd done got off track. He says that in verse 16. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. See, that's the argument. And he's talking about, I helped start this work. I'm an apostle. Now, others, preachers, you've got preachers, but you've got one me. Follow me. I have apostolic authority. I've seen Jesus. I have all the rights and privileges that the other apostles have. Follow me. Because he makes that argument. For though you might have 10,000 instructors, and they had people that would work with them, he says, yet you do not have many fathers. And so he's speaking in a special sense to this group, for in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. You might remember when he was talking about their divisions, he said, I planted. See? I did the work. I planted. Apollos watered. See? But he said, I planted. And so he had done a lot of work there, and now he's having to give a defense as being examined by some there. What I'm going to try to do is teach what the balance of this chapter teaches, and then I want to circle back. If somebody will hit a clock, put me on a 20-minute timer, and let me teach what this, I understand, this chapter 9 to be teaching, and then what I want to do is come back. There had been a few questions. I didn't know whether to answer them in private or to answer them here, but those good people out in California have been listening diligently really since COVID hit. And he had a question or two that he had raised. And I, if we have time, would like to just address that. I don't think it's anything too detailed, but he may very well, he seems to be sincere. And if you happen to be listening, you know, we certainly appreciate your interest in the truth, interest in this work, and that you found us faithful, a group that you can actually count on when you're in a difficult circumstances as they are out in California, very few works in the area where this gentleman is at, it seems to be. But last week after class, Brother Mike raised the point that when Paul says, if others are partakers of this right over you, so it seems that Paul is arguing here, a part of his defense is that, you know, they understood that you ought to support preachers, and they understood that, you know, when a man comes through and preaches, or if a man's working with him like Apollos did for a time, that he would have every right to be supported. But Paul says, now, what about me? You know, are we not more? See, given our background, given the fact that we come through and started this work, and then we tried to show last week that it wasn't that Paul didn't take support, he didn't take it from them, is really what we showed clearly. That he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe, about verse 8, I robbed other churches. See, I took money from other churches. And notice now that's plural, other churches. See, helped Paul out while he was at Corinth. See, I robbed other churches to do you service. See, so the work, the spiritual work that he would do, he didn't allow them to support him at that particular group. And that was, it seems, a pattern at times, because we see he didn't take support at Thessalonica. See, when he was over there working, when he wrote to the Philippian brethren, he said clearly, see, that you sent once and again. See, on more than one occasion, they supported Paul. Now, some surmise that this was because he didn't take money because people claim he's preaching for money. Now, I don't really necessarily see any evidence of that in the text, although that's always a standing issue, you might say. When Paul had gathered the elders together in Acts 20, one of the things that he reminded them of was that the way he carried himself. See, when he would get into town and stuff, working with a group, a lot of times he'd support himself. See, and he said, but what I showed you by working like this is that you ought to support people that can't take care of themselves. He said, I took care of the company that was with me. Evidently, he had people with him, whether it was women, whether it was men, whatever the case was. He had some that were considered weak. He said, see, working like this, laboring like this, I'm showing you that you ought to support the weak. See, I can prove that. You look over here in this text and you could read a stack of commentaries, and they'll all tell you it's about money that Paul, that, you know, he's trying to, he didn't take funds from this local church because he didn't want it to look, you know, look like he's preaching for money. Now, that may have been so. I don't get that from this text. See, when he talked to the elders at Miletus, one of the things he told them is that one of the reasons I didn't take wages is I wanted you to see. You need to get up and go to work every day and take care of people that need help. That's different, isn't it, than preaching for money? See, you'd hinder the gospel if you went in and Paul had people with him, and they just start, you know, they in a bad way, and he's just fumbling around, calling himself preaching and all, but he won't take care of his responsibilities, folks that's with him. He's done Timothy, different ones. He'd say, hey, get over here quick. I need your help over here. Different ones, Phoebe and them traveling, go in here, receive this one, receive that one. But see, when people was with him, he wouldn't help them. He wouldn't take care of them. Well, the man get up and go to work every day. He'd take care of the people that he's accountable for. You could really hinder the gospel if folks didn't understand why in the world you'd let people you were accountable for, responsible for, go hungry, that were weak. And I take this to be financial weakness, see, not necessarily weak in the faith, necessarily. See. But anyway, and weak can be used that way, incidentally. But be that as it may, some of these reasons at Corinth for him not taking funds, it could have been, see, for this. And like we talked about last week, it could have been very well that he was just wanting to show them, if any wouldn't work, neither should he eat. Because he plainly says that in his second letter to the Thessalonians, when he says now, you know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example. See, here, you don't want to hinder the gospel. See, what you here Paul had taught, if any wouldn't work, neither should he eat. Well, what's the question? Paul, you going to work? You going to get up and go to work every day? See, Paul had to show, I think he wanted his life to match up to what he was preaching. See, and so he would go into these places and forego working for various reasons, see. But you shouldn't, as we pointed out, get over here and read where Paul says, but I've used none of these things, and gather from that he wasn't taking financial support. That's not true at all. He just didn't take it where he was at times for various reasons, though. See, just like he showed at Ephesus, the elders there, he told them, now look, see what I did? I showed you, you ought to support the weak. At Thessalonica, you see, I told y'all if any wouldn't work, neither should he eat. And so I did not. Did I ask any of y'all for anything? Didn't I carry my own weight? Didn't I get a job? See, he says laboring, toiling, night and day. And I take that to mean just overtime. Like, when would he preach? He's just preaching night and day. That's all he did. I'm just working night and day, never stop, night and day. Well, no. He just means, goodness, I'm in here preaching, but if I had to work at night, I did it. If I had to work in the day, I worked night and day to support myself. See, why? So the gospel wouldn't be hindered. That's why. See, all these various reasons. Now, he did say to the elders when he called them together, now I have coveted no man's silver. See, so he went to work. Now, what I mean is he made it clear where he preached to the saints, wherever he preached. Obviously, I'm not preaching for money because did I ask y'all for anything here? You see, he had that to stand on. And that's what he meant when he says later that we'll cover... nobody's going to stop me from this boasting. See, because this is about the gospel. See, and I want to save you guys, and I want to save, ultimately, I want to save myself. That's really what he's teaching in chapter 9. Whatever you have to do, you do it to save yourself. See, at the end of the chapter, he would say clearly, look, I run into a guy this morning at Trade Day. I went to Trade Day this morning, and a little black guy walked by me, an older gentleman. I said, hey, you keeping up with him today? And he said, no, I'm doing more than keeping up with him. He said, if I can't pass him, why run? And I thought, that's what Paul's talking about. See, run to win. Don't get in a race, see. And diddy-dally around. Don't buffet yourself. Don't do whatever it takes to win. Run to win. See, he said, oh, I'm not just keeping up. I'm trying to win it. See. Now, he said that just a few minutes ago. But that's what Paul's talking about. That's what he's talking about. See. Keeping up. You know, we're not trying to keep up in a race. We're trying to win the race. That's what Paul would teach at the end of this chapter that we in, when he would argue, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Run to win. Run to win, not to keep up, not to keep pace. Run to win. What can happen? Well, he's going to explain what can happen. You can start. You can be a good starter in Christ and end up losing your soul. You can be a good opener You obey the gospel. See? Now you enter in the race. You maybe hadn't taken many steps yet. See? Run to win. You can start. But we all know people that have started with us. And they've turned back. They've drawn back. They hadn't finished. See? So it's incumbent upon all of us, see, to, as we are in the race, when we obey the gospel, we enter this race. We're placed in the race. And now Paul is using this to illustrate you have to do what it takes to save your soul. He said, that's what I'm doing. That's why he didn't take support. That's a part of it. He's doing whatever it takes, see, to try to save those that he's preaching to. See, he, no excuses. He didn't want to give anybody any reason. Whatever it might be, see, a lazy man could look and see Paul is, whatever he might be, he's a man of his word, and he, his life adorns the doctrine of Christ. It matches what he's preaching. See, clearly it would show that. And that's what Paul was about. He would tell single people, single widows. He would tell single virgins, I'm recommending you stay single. See? Things tough right now. I wouldn't add these burdens on. He said, now, you can't contain yourself. You just dead set on marrying. You have not sinned, marry. But I'm telling you what I would do, what I'd recommend, what God allowed me to recommend to you. Jesus didn't cover these things, but I'm covering them. And I'm recommending that you stay single. The times are hard, difficult, and you don't want to do anything to hurt your soul, see, to cause unnecessary hardships. As you, it's hard enough to serve God. Just to stay pure, just to stay single. See? It's hard enough to make it without adding issues and problems. And so Paul would do whatever it took. See? Not to hinder the gospel. But I, verse 27, discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Are you kidding me? See, Paul says, no way. Paul says, no, I discipline my body. Just like athletes. See, he said, look at them. Now, they work in here. You can just observe them. They working for a corruptible crown. They trying to win a statue, a prize, a physical, something you can touch. He says, but we, an incorruptible. What? We're running for something. See? I mean, it's a big prize. It's why we endure, go through what we go through. But he said, it's necessary now. He said, because look at all this work he would do out in the kingdom. All these pearls in the sea, out of the sea, troubles in church, out of the church, he would say, fasting, often hungers, thirst, see, homeless, one translation would say, and then he loses his soul because he can't buffet his body, see, he can't keep it from fornication, he can't control himself out here, he's going to go do something after all this work and not finish the race, see, run, that you may obtain it. See, and each one of us need to do that. Whatever you have to do to save your soul, save it. Whatever you have to give up, give it up. Meats, are you kidding me? It's not to be compared to the value of the soul. See, so Paul would say unequivocally, see, if meat makes my brother to offend, I won't eat it. I'll do without it. I'm not going to hurt him. I'm not going to hurt my reputation. And not only that, he said, when you do so, you sin. See? You sin if you harm another brother in those kind of areas that he's talking about. See? You wound their weak conscience, he would say. And he said, so no, I tell you what we need to do. is walk in love toward those brethren. Do whatever it takes to save, help others, and do whatever it takes to save yourself. You know, they sent out something. Brother George didn't want us to call on him anymore. Well, why? Well, he said, because I can't hear good. That made perfectly good sense to me. I was going to talk him into praying. I wouldn't quit praying. But if he wants to, that's up to him, see. But he might be saying, see, look here, what I want to do, I want to cause no confusion. I can't get all the announcements sometimes. And so, see, he's doing whatever it takes. See, just, I don't want no problems. I don't want to cause any. That may be what he's doing. That's my guess that it is. See, that's commendable to me. See? That's commendable. But that's what Paul, these kind of things is what Paul is talking about. You run so that you can make it in. See? Run in such a way that you can get into heaven. And after all the work that we've done, all of us, everybody in this room, we're going to lose it at the end. We're not going to make it in. We're going to go do something behind closed doors, sinister, sin, condemn our own souls after all the hard work that we've done, these years of showing up here, years of giving, sharing, all that you do in the Lord, and lose your soul. What good would it be? Mike and Rex, now they elders, and then they end up in the bad place because they can't control themselves. See, that's what Paul's talking about here. We run to win, and we got to be careful. We got to walk in love toward each other, and we got to put off whatever it takes to get into heaven is really what he's talking about here. But he says, now you can look at those that served under the old covenant, and you can see clearly that God intended for people to be supported. See, and he raises those issues when he says, do you not know in verse 13 that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? See, now, can't you see? Just go read the Old Testament and look and see how God made provisions for the priesthood. Now, they didn't get a share in the land when they got there. They were dedicated to his service, the Levites were, and to work, but he intended for them to be supported. And so a part of the tithes went to the support of this good tribe that didn't get a part in the land of Canaan when they got in there. That he intended without question that people who worked in my service, see, in his house, that was his house, see, the tabernacle, that was his house, the temple, see, that Solomon ultimately built for him. See, that was his house, and they were doing his work, and they were to be supported. And then Paul says, and guess what? Jesus Christ himself said that when a man preaches, he commanded, he didn't just say it, he commanded that if a man preaches, he ought to be supported by the gospel. Even so, verse 14 says, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. So who has a question about supporting preachers? Who, anybody doubt that we're not supposed to support preachers? See, it's clear, isn't it? Yes, sir.
It's been 20 minutes.
Been 20 minutes. Give me five more, Doug. Can I steal five off of you? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I appreciate that. All right. So I'm kidding. I appreciate that very much. Now, so these that do this spiritual work, and I believe here early he shows this secular work, you know, vineyard workers, plowers, threshers. But then he turns and shows, see, kind of like a nail on the coffin and shows, now, what about this spiritual work? Its value. See, God wants these people taken care of. He really says as much when he says, if we have sown in verse 11, spiritual things for you, is it a great thing? Is it a great thing if we reap your material things? You can't place a value on spiritual things. The saving of the soul. See, is it a great thing? See, what should these that's questioning Paul, wouldn't you just squirm up if you had any wonderings about supporting Paul, about his support, when Paul would say, is it a great thing? But what we've done, see, when we come in here and what we were sent out to do, Paul, crosses my mind here, when Paul is telling Agrippa and him, here's my commission. He says, Jesus said, now rise, Paul, and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. And look, here's these spiritual things, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan. Aren't you thankful? Aren't we thankful that we've been turned, see, from the power of Satan? And the men and women that helped us, see, that brought us up in our homes, that helped us, see, they sowed spiritual things. They're priceless. But he would say that you may receive forgiveness of sins. This is what he had done to these Gentiles. See, these brethren, he gets into town and he gets a job out of the gate. He don't come in, no support from them. We know that from verse 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus. This is when he gets into town, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them so, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. For by occupation, they were tent makers. See, so he comes into town, gets a job, good old hard-fashioned job, and then he goes to work. He starts preaching in the synagogues. He don't take money from this group, but he was getting it from others, as he would state clearly in his second letter to them. Not to embarrass them, he says, but I robbed other churches to do you service, see, because he didn't want in any way to hinder the gospel. And then Paul says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. And I think here Paul is saying, explaining in this defense, I believe, what he explained to Agrippa. See, that he felt compelled to preach the gospel. See, that this wasn't something just necessarily he just come up with on his own. I think I'll preach. Now, Paul was called, wasn't he? He was stopped on the road and chosen. See, Jesus said, you are a chosen vessel. What would you do if God chose you? Would you act up if Jesus Christ showed up and said, I chose you? What could you reject it? Would you reject it? See? Would you, Thatcher, if Jesus said, I choose you, Thatcher, would you say, got something else to do, you know. No, I think I'm going to make tents over here. You see, he was chosen. Paul says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He felt compelled to preach the gospel because he had been picked. He had been handpicked. See, and he says, for if I do this thing willingly, which he did, I have a reward. What was his reward? That at the end of the day, when he preached to the Corinthians, he preached it free to them. See? No funds, just the gospel. Just me preaching to you, trying to save your souls. Took all the money out of it, see, from their standpoint. That was his reward. See? He says as much, didn't he? What is my reward then, verse 18? He answers that when I preach the gospel, I may preach the gospel of Christ without charge. See? You don't have to wonder. You don't have to wonder about it. He says, see? I preached it free. That's my reward. See, what's the point? Whatever you have to do to save and help people, That's what Paul wanted. That's what he was about. That's what he stood for. See? You could question his motives all you want. Maybe that's what's going on here with this examination. But what would you see? A man that got into town and went to work. What would you see? A man that labored night and day, who went through hardship. He suffered at Corinth. He was with them in weakness and in fear. Jesus himself had to tell him, look, just stay right here. Don't fear. Don't be scared, Paul. I got a lot of people here. Stay and work. Go to work. And Paul did that for a year and a half. What's the point? Do whatever you have to do to save others. That's what I did. When you examine Paul, these that would examine him, what do you see? A pristine resume. That's what you see. Of unsupported by this group that I'm preaching to. A man that got into town and worked, see, with his hands to provide his own living. That the perfect example. A man that buffeted his own body. The man that was single, stayed single to preach the gospel of Christ. He chose that. Now, like he argues, I have every right to get married. Do I not have a right to lead about a wife, a sister? See? But he didn't use any of these things so that he could save and help these people and help himself get to heaven. That's what Paul was about. That's what you and I need to be about. And Paul says, not only that, when I got into town, he always became all things to all men. See, to the weak, I became as weak. He wrote in this second letter, you know, who is weak? Who is made weak? See, and I don't burn with indignation. If somebody was walking unlovingly toward the weak, boy, that burned Paul up. See, you can't forego these little rights to help others and to help ultimately yourself. See, because you sin in those kind of behaviors, but he would show this clearly, wouldn't he? When he says, for though I'm free from all men, verse 19, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. See what he was about? See, we sing that song, a soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner, that I might win the more. See, a soul winner, that I might win the more. To the Jews, I became as a Jew. And we see that at times he gets into town. He takes Timothy. He's impressed with Timothy. Timothy had a good reputation there. And Paul wants to take Timothy with him. And Paul figures, well, now look here. People around this area, and we can read this. This is exactly what he's talking about. He says, people in this area aware of your dad. Your dad's a Greek. This may cause us some problems. What does he do? He takes Timothy and has Timothy circumcised so that when they went in and preached, that wouldn't get in somebody's way, that people wouldn't be looking at Timothy sideways, these Jews. To the Jews, I became as a Jew. See? Well, now imagine, he is a Jew. Listen to what he's saying. You see, the point is, I become what I need to be. Sister Ward, she goes in. I've always been impressed with them. I don't know, you know, if they especially like black people, they just end up there. But down in Birmingham, they've done good work among the black people. And at Legion Street, little, you know, she's up there on this dangerous hill. A lot of folks won't even go up there. And she, you know, boy, she just teach Bible studies, just knocking, you know, just going around working it. See, to the blacks, I became as a black. See, that I can help them. See, because she's in here just battling in these little communities. A lot of folks scared to go in there. She just drives in there and just, you know, parks, gets out, and just, boy, she just, you know, just going about her business. Never get robbed, never. What's that? This is what Paul talking about here. Becoming all things to all men so that you can help people. That's why. Because you got to put these things on because folks will look at you sideways. You see? Look at what Paul's saying. Why didn't he take support? Because he didn't need it? Oh, he needed it. Paul liked to starve to death. they like to kill Paul. Look at what Paul says. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death. For we've been made a spectacle of the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise. We are weak. You are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, now, when he writes this letter, listen to his predicament. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. That sounds like Jesus Christ. That sounds just like Jesus Christ. See? Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And you want to follow me? I mean, come on if you can handle it, see? But here, Paul says, we are poorly clothed. You see what Paul's situation is? He couldn't use a little help from the Corinthians. He couldn't use a little support, a check. But he wasn't going to allow anything going on at Corinth there to get in the way of what he was trying to do. And that is to save others and to save himself. We are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor. Work now, listen. And we labor, working with our own hands. Oh, he needed support. See, that's what he meant when he got over here where we are. And he says that he endured all things. See, in verse 12, if others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we've not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Oh, he needed stuff. Because, boy, he was thankful when he writes to the Philippians. He says, boy, y'all hit it just in time. He says, no, his support came at a good time. And then he says, now I'm glad for y'all's sake. Y'all will get the fruits of this, of helping a preacher that's in a bind, needing your help, see? And he would send support to help them. This church did. Oh, he and Paul said, but we endure all things lest we hinder the gospel. See, he'd go hungry, see? He'd suffer. He'd be without before he would do anything to hurt others, make it into heaven. See, no, he didn't want any issues. Just hear the gospel and you obey it. You can look at my life, and he walked, see, just what he preached. If any wouldn't work, neither should he eat. Well, he got him a job. See, whatever it takes, that's what Paul did. I became all things, though I'm free. He says, you know, he opened up that chapter with that. Am I not free? See, he says, now, am I not free? I am. He says, but guess what I've done? I've made myself a slave, a servant to all. See, so he would take on these little old ethnic things. He'd go into these towns. Some would be maybe not as receptive because of people he got with him. But Timothy, let's get circumcised right here, see. So we don't have no problems. So when we go in here, see, when we stand and teach and we hear door knocking, and Paul did, incidentally, you remember what he told the Ephesian elders, I have taught you publicly and from house to house. See? From house to house. Paul wasn't just a pulpit preacher. Nothing wrong with being them. That's mostly what we got today, is just pulpit preachers. But I'm not knocking it. But we need some house-to-house preachers too. Folks need the gospel. That's what they need in their own lives. See? But what did he do? Whatever it took, I became all things to all men, see? That I might win the more. I'm a soul winner. And then he would warn, you make sure you run. And you run like you're trying to win. You do what it... Look at the athletes. Discipline your body. Look at how they train. Look at what they do. Because he will show in this next chapter what can happen to you, see? What happens to good starters and people who don't finish? Because he would say, I don't want you to be ignorant, see, of those that were back then, because they started, but they did not finish. They were baptized and converted unto Moses. And then they all lost their souls out in the wilderness. You can start, but it won't do you any good if you don't finish. That's where we're headed. That's what he's been teaching. As those that would examine him, he's defense. You can see how solid and how tight it is. See, look at my life. Look at what I've become for all, that I might gain all. Look at what I went through when I needed support. We worked night and day, see, so that we didn't have to be a burden to any of you guys. See, why? He says, because we didn't have authority. We didn't need to be supported. He said, no. See, because he said, I wanted to be an example for you. Well, thanks be to any preacher that will go to that extent to save people. And we may be well on our way with one. We've had some good men here. We got one now, and we hope that he'll walk in the traditions of those that walk his predecessors. True preachers of the gospel, true servants of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll pick up, Lord willing, with chapter 10 next time.